This morning, you can open them up to Luke chapter 19. That's where our scripture is going to be this morning, starting in verse 1, and we'll be looking through the account of Zacchaeus this morning. As you're turning there, I heard this before, the definition of an adult. An adult is someone that has quit growing at both ends and is growing in the middle. And so, the season of eating is about upon us, so keep that in mind. My question this morning is, who are you becoming? Now, this morning, this isn't a weight loss sermon or anything like that. But who are you becoming? It's a pretty important question for you to answer for yourself. Who are you becoming? We're always moving towards something in our life. So, who are you becoming? When your kids are growing up, you ask them, what do you want to become when you get older, when you're an adult? And they'll say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a baseball player, a basketball player, a musician. You know, you never know what kind of response kids are going to give you. I want to be a dinosaur. You know, I've heard that from preschoolers. And then for yourself, as you're growing up, you think about what I want to be, and then you become what you are, your occupation. And then you ask your children as they are growing up what they want to be. Who you're becoming is very important, but in a spiritual sense, who you're becoming in Christ is so much more important. And this morning, we're going to talk about your identity in Christ. You see, there's a two-step process to this and who you're becoming. And my prayer this morning as we go through this message, we read about the life of Zacchaeus and his interaction with Jesus Christ. My hope is that you have a heart that's soft, tillable soil that'll absorb the Word of God. Because when it comes to our spiritual journey, there's a two-step process. And that first step is that we hear the Word of God. We talked about coming to a saving point with Christ's salvation a few weeks ago. That's the first step. We have to hear the Word of God. No one comes to salvation without hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so the first place that it comes is right here. In our brains, we have to come to know and understand who Christ is. And for some people, that is a little bit more difficult because this is a little bit thicker. I remember a time in my life where my mind, my brain, trying to get the Word of God in there, it was a little bit thick. Some of you might be able to agree for yourself at one point in your life. But we first have to get the Word of God into our minds. We have to believe what it says. The second step is that we have to get it from just knowledge, an understanding, to a belief that's in our hearts, to where our lives are different than what they were before we came to know who Christ is in our life. Because we, as a Christian, have an identity in Christ. We are changed. And unfortunately, many people we'll go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And where they are at now, you could hardly see a difference from the first day they stepped in the doors. We have an identity crisis for many Christians. They've gotten it here. They understand it. There may be a belief, but it hasn't transformed their hearts into someone completely different. That transformation that comes when we receive Christ and we gain a new identity. We're not who we used to be, but we're a brand new person. The key question from this chapter this week, chapter 5 in the Believe book, the key question is, who am I? That's a good question to ask. You know, the key indicator to happiness is if you like who you are. If you like who you are, then more than likely your life will be pretty pleasant. You'll enjoy life. But if you don't like who you are, if there's something about yourself that you don't like, then you're probably not going to enjoy life. You may be difficult to deal with. You may be down a lot of times. You may be frustrated or angry. And if there is something in your life that thing, it'll haunt you for all of your life until you realize how to overcome that, to where you can enjoy this life. And I have the answer for this morning. The answer is Jesus Christ. Because it's in Jesus Christ that you gain a new identity, that you're a brand new person. The key verse this week is in John chapter 1, verse 12. John doesn't open up his gospel account with a genealogy of Jesus or the birth story. He does it in a different way, revealing that that God has came into the world, that men will reject him. And in verse 12 it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That if we come to a right relationship with God and we believe, we don't just know it here, but we come to a belief and it changes our heart and who we are, then we're adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. We are given a new identity. I don't know if you remember your first child's birth. I remember when Mitch was born. It was a long, drawn-out thing. It was 24 hours. Boy, I was worn out at the end, I'll tell you. I said that in the first service, and Trista was in the back, and she knew I was going to say it, I think, and she just kind of grinned at me. But for Trista, it was, you know, she had an 8 for over 24 hours. Her blood pressure had bottomed out at one point. It was a tough thing. And when Mitch came into this world, the doctors handed me a scissors and said, "Cut the cord." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, you just tell me what to do." Boy, that thing is rubbery. I didn't realize it would be like that. And we cut the cord, and they whoosh him over to the table, and Trista's just kind of about out of it. And so I don't know what to do. I'm just walking around the room, and I'm just watching what's happening. And it dawned on me, I'm responsible for this now. But there wasn't a panic feeling. It was a thought of, I'm responsible for a child, for a life now. God has done something miraculous here. But I felt a sense of calm. But how exciting that day was. Now, Mitch came into this world because we chose to have a son. But when it comes to having a saving relationship with the Lord, we come into a relationship and receive a new identity because we choose to do that. God has already done the legwork for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. But it's a choice we make to have a new identity in Christ. And it tells us that we become children of God. While having a child on this earth is a great thing, it's an even greater thing to have a spiritual birthday. That day that you can remember back that I came to belief in Christ, that I was baptized, that my sins were washed away, that I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that one day I'll live in eternity with God. But it has to get more from here, but it's got to connect to our hearts, and we receive a new identity. The key idea in the chapter this week reads like this: I believe I am significant because of my position as a child of God. I hope that you realize how significant it is that you are put in a position to be a child of God. That we are allowed to have this position. That God has already done the legwork for us. We just choose to receive what it is that Christ has done and allow Him to transform not just our minds, but our hearts and who we are so that we have a new identity. We are not who we used to be. This morning, we're going to look at this man named Zacchaeus. You might remember the song growing up as a kid. I'm not going to sing it. I'll say the words. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. I wonder, as Zacchaeus is in heaven, every time he hears that song, it kind of irks him. You know, for decades, they just remember me as that wee little guy. It doesn't even say wee little butt guy in the Bible. It says small or short. But it tells us that he was a small guy. I think perhaps maybe he had the short man syndrome. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you're small in stature, so you go buy a big pickup truck to maybe make yourself look better. Or maybe, perhaps he was a short little guy, and well, he just wasn't tall enough, he just wasn't a big enough kind of guy that he didn't make the local basketball team in high school, and so he got kind of down in the dumps. I don't know. But what we do know about this man is that he was wealthy. That he was the chief tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector, one of the guys, but he was the chief. He was in charge. And he had lots of wealth. And as we read, we're going to find out he was a very wealthy man. And I just wonder if he found his identity in his money. If that's what gave him status, if that's what helped elevate him so that people would, that's the chief tax collector, that's his house, you see it up there on the hill. Man, he's got the best clothes, the fanciest camel. But that's what he found his identity in. What do we find our identity in? It may not be wealthy things, or monetarily things, or it could be other things. But it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we find our identity in something, or do we find it in Christ? And so let's read the story this morning. Luke chapter 19. Let's look at verses 1 to 7 together. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, see, it doesn't say wee little man. Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And you kind of paint the picture of what's happening. At this time in Jesus' ministry, he was becoming very popular. Now, there were those in Jerusalem, the religious leaders that wanted to have his head. But those outside of Jerusalem, in the countryside, the small towns, people were flocking to hear his teachings. They were clamoring to see him do some sort of miracle. The things that Jesus had done had spread. People were interested. I'm sure as Jesus was making his way with many followers with him, his disciples, they probably sent people ahead to the local town. Hey, Jesus is coming. He's right outside of town, just a couple of miles. He'll be here in 20 minutes. So it tells us here in this town that as Jesus approached, the crowds were gathering. They heard the news. The buzz was in the air. They wanted to hear what this carpenter, this rabbi, this teacher, this man from Nazareth, a place where no one comes from that's of any account, what's he going to do today? What's he going to teach on? Maybe he'll heal somebody from blindness or make a dead person rise again. We don't know, but it's exciting. And I wonder if Zacchaeus had seen Jesus before. Perhaps as he sat at his tax collecting booth, he had seen Jesus walk by or speak to someone that no one else would speak to, or he had just heard the stories. But nonetheless, something piqued his interest. And as Jesus approaches, it tells us that he was a short man. And he decided, I can't see over the crowd, so I'm going to climb this tree. And as Jesus approaches, something significant happens that sometimes we kind of gloss over as we read the story. That as Jesus approaches, he looks up into the tree as if Jesus just knew. And he probably did. And when he saw Zacchaeus, he didn't say, hey, you dirty old tax collector. Hey, you no good person. You cheat. You liar. Why don't you get down here? I'm going to wag my finger in your face and tell you how bad you are. Well, no. He called him by name. He looked up on the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to hang out together today. And when Jesus called you, Jesus didn't call you by something you've done in the past or something that you're doing today, but he called you by name. You see, Jesus sees us different than we see each other. And kind of a side note to this message is we should have that same acknowledgement of other people. That we don't see people for who they are because of what they've done in the past or today, but we see them as Jesus sees them. We just see them as a person. We see them as a child of God. Call them by name. We're polite to them. We're courteous to them. We're generous to them. We show grace. And so, Jesus calls Zacchaeus down from the tree, and he climbs down out of the tree. And I am sure, as he was climbing out of that tree, and Scripture tells us here in verse 7, that the people were muttering. We don't use that word, mutter. Mutter, I guess, perhaps would mean that they were complaining, they were griping, they were gossiping. They couldn't believe it. Why isn't Jesus coming to my house today? Not that guy. That's the tax collector. Well, that's not what happened that day. Jesus climbed down out of the tree, and it tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, But Zacchaeus stood up, said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And so as he climbs down out of that tree, I would wonder if there was a bit of a panic to him that there's a large crowd. These people don't like me. They're angry. They're muttering that I'm going to go hang out with Jesus, and some of them probably wanted to have that opportunity. Maybe I should fear for my life. They could do something drastic. But it says he just stood up. And he announced that I'm going to give back half of my possessions to the poor, and anyone I've cheated, I'm going to give them four times the amount that I cheated them out of. If you look back in the Old Testament law, if you were to cheat someone out of money, it wasn't you cheat them $10, you pay them $10 back. It was you paid back four times the amount. So you cheated someone $10, you pay them back $40. What we see here is Zacchaeus is making an acknowledgement of his life that I have done wrong and now I'm going to do right. We call that repentance. Now, it doesn't happen that quickly for most. That he was in a tree, he was called, he heard, and by the time his feet hit the dirt, his heart had already changed. But we see that in this story. And so, in verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." He received what all the others thought probably wasn't possible, because he believed what everybody else said about him. I would say once he became wealthy and they claimed him as the chief tax collector, a dirty, rotten scoundrel, he started to live it and believe it. And sometimes we believe the lies of what people say we are, but Jesus Christ sees us for who we are, calls us by name as a child of God. And so from this day forward, Zacchaeus didn't need his wealth for his significance. He didn't need the money, the prestige, to have an identity. Because guess what? His identity changed on that day, and he became a Christ follower. That was his identity. And the day that you became a Christian, your identity changed. If you haven't chose that for yourself yet, the day that you choose that is the day that you have a new identity, and that identity is in Christ. And all the striving and the performing, the bending over backwards that we do in this life to impress people, to have an identity, to feel worth, we can throw that all out the window because we find an identity in Jesus Christ. I want you right now to look at somebody that's sitting beside you and tell them you're a somebody. Now that was just a murmur. I spoke a few weeks ago that if there's anything that we should be proud of in this life, it's proud that we know God. We have a relationship with His Son. So, I want you to look at someone and say, "You're a somebody." Now, I want you to just think of yourself and say, "You know what? I'm a somebody." You are. And this world will tell you that you're not unless... We don't have to live like that. We don't have to conform to what our culture tells us that we have to do to fit in or to belong or to have self-worth or an identity in our culture. We have an identity in Christ. You don't have to gossip at the coffee shop just to fit in with everybody else. You already have an identity in Christ. You don't have to buy things that you can't afford so you can impress your neighbors or a family member or a person you work with because, well, you have an identity in Christ. You don't have to hang out with people you'd rather not hang out with just because it elevates your stature. Because you have an identity in Christ. Randy Frazee, who wrote this series and wrote this book, in one of his messages, he says this line, "When you know who you are, and who you are comes from an unchangeable position as a child of God, you can stand for the truth." You think of it. If you're in the position as a child of God, you stand on the truth. That's Jesus Christ. And so if you have an identity in Christ, you can stand on the truth. You can reject the lies because the truth is in you. And you can minimize temptations. And boy, do we need that help. when we have an identity in Christ. Here's four things. That was just the introduction. I'm just kidding. The four-point sermon now begins. here's four things for you to understand about an identity in Christ. The first is this: I am free of condemnation. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There is no one this side of eternity that can wreck your relationship with Christ unless you allow them to do that. And there is no one that condemn you to anything because Jesus has paid the price for you on the cross. And so there is no condemnation. You are free in Jesus Christ, and because of that, you have an identity that's unchangeable, that's unmovable. The second is this: my worth comes from my position in Christ, not my performance. And unfortunately for generations, the church has kind of taught, well, to feel worth in Christ, you kind of have to have a performance tally mark. Went to church, read my Bible, went to church, helped the neighbor, and you got to keep the tally marks going. God's taken, got a chalkboard in heaven. He hadn't got a dry erase board yet. He's using the chalkboard in heaven. Tally mark, tally mark. When you get to the pearly gates, let's see how many tally marks you got, and you might make it. No. When you have an identity in Christ, it just comes because of the position that God was able to put you in. Your position in Christ comes because of what Jesus has already done for you, not by what you think you can do for yourself or to impress Him. Here's a third: I live to express who I am in Christ, not to prove who I am. I think this is so important. I think it's so important for us to realize that in this life, we don't live to just prove to everybody, today I was a self-righteous Christian, look at me, I proved it. No. Our life is just an expression of who you are in Christ. Your life should just be an overflow, an expression, because of the love you've received from God. It's just an overflow back out onto other people, up to the heavens, to God. So your life should just be an expression of what's in your heart, of the identity that you have in Christ and Christ alone. The fourth and last is this: I can focus on building others up, not tearing them down. For those, as we talked earlier, you find your self-worth whether you like yourself or not. There's something about yourself that you don't like. Then you'll be insecure in that, and more than likely, you'll take that out on other people. You'll tear other people down. If you feel something about yourself that you don't like, you're not adding up, you're not equal with others around you or better than them, then you'll try to tear others down to build yourself up. But if we have an identity in Christ, we don't worry about those things, and rather than tearing people down, we're builders. We build people up. Just as we saw Christ, as He came into that town, He looked up on that tree and He saw Zacchaeus. He didn't tear him down by saying, "Get down here, you tax collector, you scum of the earth, you sinner." But He called him by name. He was there to build that man up so that salvation, as we read, could come to his house. So, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Spiritually, there's only two ways we can go. We're either always moving towards Christ or we're always moving away. There's no gray area. There's no fence to ride. It's one or the other. So, today, who are you becoming? That's my challenge for you to contemplate this week. And as you move forward in this series, as you read into chapter 6 next, because moving from knowing to believing and having an identity change, and a time when you make this decision, it's almost an identity crisis. You kind of struggle between the sinful nature and the spirit. I don't know if I should do this. Can I do this? Things will have to change in my life. I don't know if I want to make those changes. There'll be that identity struggle, that crisis. But on the other side, an identity with Christ far succeeds anything this life offers. And so I hope that you consider where you're headed, who you're becoming. I hope this week that you choose to live to prove who you are in Christ, not to just prove who you are, just to impress other people. And we've become a culture that's very prone to want to just impress others. And we jump through hoops and we bend our back and we go into debt and we do all kinds of things. We sell ourselves out to make ourselves look good to other people. We ruin who we are as a person. We don't have to live that way because we can have identity in Christ. If you haven't received Christ yet, then you don't have that identity. But you can. So this morning, we sing a song of invitation where you can make a decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior so that you can have that identity in Jesus Christ. For everyone else that's already made that decision, my hope for you is as we sing a song of invitation, this becomes more of a song of meditation for you. And you contemplate, where am I heading right now? Am I portraying an identity in Christ? Is it of an overflow of my heart, of my love for God that pours out on other people? Or are we just living a life just to impress others, just to do it, so we fit in, so we feel self-worth? There's nothing like having an identity in Christ. Let's stand and let's sing this song of invitation.